Your thoughts are signals. Your choices are ripples. Your mind broadcasts a frequency, and your life tends to follow that broadcast. When you train the signal, the ripple changes. Every day, your attention gets tuned by inputs, headlines, ads, old memories, social pressure, political messaging, algorithmic feeds. All of it competes for your focus, and the strongest inputs tend to pull you toward a predictable state. Many people run on whatever state hits them first. Then they call it my personality, or that's just how I am. When in reality, you are being engineered by outside sources who do not care about you or your best interests. A different approach exists. It is polarity. Fear can shift toward clear attention. Anger can shift toward clean action. Doubt can shift toward experiment. That shift is mental transmutation, meaning the ability to move your inner state on purpose, instead of letting the outside move it for you. This episode stays practical. The net as a lived model means your inner state links to your outer life through cause and effect. Thoughts, emotions, and attention patterns function like signals. Your behavior carries those signals outward. Your behavior shapes your relationships, your work, your decisions, your health, and your future. Those results come back as new inputs, and the cycle continues. Here is the model in plain language. Your mind generates a signal, your body amplifies it, and your behavior expresses it. That behavior creates ripples. Those ripples shape your environment, and your environment feeds the next signal. When you see that loop, you stop treating your inner world like an isolated private room. You start treating it like the control panel of your day. When I say signal, I mean any internal pattern that reliably predicts what you will do next. Thoughts count. Emotions count. Mental images count. Self-talk counts. Breath pattern counts. Posture counts. Tone of voice counts. Attention counts, especially where it returns again and again. If you want a quick test, look back at the last day and ask a simple question. What state did I keep returning to? That recurring state is your broadcast. Signals also leak. Your face, timing, patience level, urgency, avoidance, and decisiveness show up in the room. People respond to you based on what you broadcast. Your home responds. Your workplace responds. Your day responds. Even when nobody says anything, the signal is shaping what happens next. When I say ripple, I mean whatever happens after a signal turns into behavior. It includes the message you send, the tone you use, the way you pause before replying, and the choice you keep delaying. It includes a habit you repeat, a boundary you set, and a boundary you avoid. It includes a clean truth, a lie, a spiral you feed, a calm response you hold, and a brave step you take while you still feel fear. These things count as ripple because they change what happens next. Some ripples show results quickly. Others travel forward and show up later as consequences, patterns, and relationships. A common learning curve shows up with this model. Some people hear interconnection and over-tighten, like every thought must be controlled or managed. That creates pressure and mental friction. Other people see the size of the world and under-tighten, like their choices do nothing, so they stop choosing on purpose. The balanced view stays simple. Connection means participation. You influence what you touch. You shape outcomes through consistent choices, even when the outcomes stay local and gradual. This works in grounded terms because your brain runs on prediction. It constantly sorts the world into what matters, what feels safe, what feels dangerous, what feels rewarding, and what feels costly. It highlights certain inputs and dims others. It builds habits through repetition. It reinforces whatever reduces uncertainty and pain quickly, even when that quick relief creates long-term damage. Emotions function as action programs. Fear prepares scanning and avoidance. Anger prepares confrontation and boundary enforcement. Shame prepares hiding and submission. Desire prepares approach and pursuit. Calm prepares learning and connection. So if your system runs fear for hours a day, it trains a fear-based operating system. If it runs resentment for years, it trains a resentment-based personality. If it runs clarity daily, it trains clarity. Character is repeated state. That can feel heavy at first. Then it becomes leverage, because repeated state can be retrained. This is also why motivation fails as a strategy. Motivation is a burst. Training is a system. A burst rarely outcompetes a practiced loop. Now let's talk influence, because this matters for daily sovereignty. Influence is real, and it is usually mechanical. A lot of control does not require a hidden room. It requires incentives and attention systems. In a world where attention becomes currency, the winners are the things that hold attention the longest. That changes how content gets shaped and how messages get delivered. Attention capture usually follows a familiar pattern. Something intense hits you first, something that wakes up your nervous system. It might be a warning headline, a shocking clip, a comparison image, a tribal conflict frame, or a confident voice promising certainty. Your body reacts before you finish thinking. Your breath changes. Your focus narrows. Then a meaning story forms quickly because the mind wants an explanation that fits the feeling. The story tells you what this means, who is right, who is wrong, what you should fear, what you should desire, and what action you should take. After that, a payoff appears, and the payoff trains you to return. The payoff can be relief, certainty, belonging, validation, or the rush of anger. Over time, the cycle becomes automatic. You can see it clearly with fear. You open your phone and see a headline warning about a new threat. Your chest tightens before you finish reading. The mind jumps to a protective story. Something is coming. I need to stay alert. The reward comes from continuing to scroll, because each new piece of information feels like protection. The nervous system is doing what it evolved to do. The cost shows up when you stay locked in threat mode long after the useful information is gone. You can see it with outrage. You watch a short clip of someone behaving badly, cut down to a few seconds with no context. Heat rises immediately. The story becomes simple and sharp, and the reward shows up in agreement, comments, and the rush of moral certainty. You stay longer, engage more, and the system learns that anger holds attention more reliably than calm analysis. You can see it with comparison. You see someone your age with a perfect body, a perfect house, or a perfectly edited life. Your system drops into pressure. The story becomes, I'm behind, or I'm failing. The reward comes from either chasing the product, chasing the identity, or chasing more content that keeps the comparison going, even while it drains you. You can see it with belonging. You hear language that signals membership, like, if you really understand, you're one of us. Your body relaxes because it feels like home. The story becomes, these are my people. The reward is connection, and the loop strengthens because leaving now feels like losing identity. You can see it with certainty. Someone speaks with total confidence and says, here is what is really happening. Uncertainty is exhausting, so certainty feels like relief. The story becomes, finally, an explanation. The reward is the feeling of safety that comes from having a clean narrative, even when the narrative is incomplete. You can see it with an enemy frame. A message points at one group or one institution as the single cause of the problem. Complexity disappears. The story becomes, if we beat them, everything gets better. The reward is simplicity. Because simplicity reduces mental strain, the loop keeps running because anger at a single target feels easier than holding a complicated reality. This does not require a secret plot. It is what happens when attention becomes the main currency. The more time you spend inside these loops, the more predictable your reactions become. Predictability makes steering possible. The shift happens when you see the pattern without turning it into a threat. You can still care about real issues. You can still act. You can still take responsibility. You just stop letting the first emotional spike decide the rest of your behavior. Now we bring in the part that traps most people, emotional trigger cycles. A trigger cycle is a fast loop that repeats. It starts with a cue, pulls your nervous system into a familiar state, pushes you toward familiar behavior, creates a familiar consequence, and that consequence reinforces the loop. Here is how it often runs. A cue appears, sometimes outside you, sometimes inside you. It can be a tone of voice, a facial expression, a text delay, a bill, a smell, a date on the calendar, a memory, or a headline. Your body picks it up first. Breath tightens, heart rate shifts, muscles brace. Then your mind tries to explain the body's shift, so a meaning story appears. The story might be, I'm unsafe, I'm disrespected, I'm trapped, I'm failing. People cannot be trusted. That story generates an emotion. The emotion generates an urge. The urge drives behavior. The behavior creates consequences. The consequences teach the system to fire faster next time. That cycle can run in 30 seconds. It can also run for years. A key insight changes everything here. Triggers do not start at behavior. They start at state. When your state shifts, your options shrink. When your state stabilizes, your options expand. So the goal is catching the cycle early, before it turns into a full wave. The most reliable place to catch it is the body shift. Breath, posture, and attention are levers on state. They look simple. They work because they act upstream. To overcome trigger cycles, you begin by learning your pattern. Most triggers feel random in the moment, and most are patterned over time. People tend to recycle a small set of loops. The theme repeats. The body sensation repeats. The coping move repeats. The consequence repeats. Once you recognize your loop, you stop being surprised by it, and that alone gives you space to choose earlier. A simple mapping practice makes this concrete. After a trigger episode, ask 4 questions in normal language. What was the cue? What did my body do first? What story showed up? What did I do next? You are not doing this to judge yourself. You are doing it to see the sequence. Then you learn early warning signs. Every loop has a first domino, and it shows up in the body before it shows up as a full story. It might be jaw tension, chest tightness, a sudden speed in the mind, or an urge to check, scroll, argue, defend, withdraw, eat, spend, drink, or smooth things over. Your early signs are personal, and they tend to repeat. When you recognize them, the loop loses its surprise factor, and surprise is what gives it power. Then you install a pause. The pause is the space where response becomes possible. A pause can be as small as 1 breath, then a second breath, just long enough to break the automatic chain. It can be feeling your feet on the floor and letting your weight drop into them. It can be softening your eyes, because wide, relaxed vision tells your nervous system that you are not in immediate danger. It can be unclenching your jaw and lowering your shoulders, because your body often holds the trigger before your mind names it. It can be putting the phone down, turning it face down, or moving it out of reach, because distance changes the loop. A pause can also include stopping the thought train on purpose. That does not mean fighting thoughts or arguing with them. It means interrupting momentum. You can name what is happening, quietly or out loud. Like, this is a trigger loop, or my mind is running a threat story. You can shift attention to something concrete, like counting slow exhales, listening for a few sounds in the room, or feeling your fingertips. The point is moving attention out of the story and into direct experience, because direct experience is where choice returns. Sometimes the fastest pause is environmental. Stand up and change rooms. Step outside for 30 seconds. Splash cold water on your face. Open a window. Turn off the screen. Change the lighting. Change the sound. If you can, create distance from the stimulus. Environment is part of the signal. So changing the environment is a real form of self-control. Movement can be part of the pause too. A short walk, a few squats, shaking out your hands, stretching your neck. Small physical resets tell the nervous system we have options. And many loops feed on the feeling of being trapped. The pause is control. It is the moment you stop being carried by the loop and start steering again. That is awareness training in real time. It ends the loop and returns choice. Now we connect this directly to polarity and mental transmutation, because polarity is what changes the direction of your state without wrestling it for hours. Every trigger cycle pulls you toward a pole. Fear pulls you toward threat scanning. Anger pulls you toward attack. Shame pulls you toward hiding. Despair pulls you toward collapse. When you argue with those states, you often feed them. When you shift polarity, you change the direction of movement. Polarity is not pretending. It is not performance. Fear moving toward clarity does not mean telling yourself everything is safe. It means asking what is true right now and what is the next clean step. Anger moving toward clean action does not mean becoming passive. It means turning heat into precision. Shame moving toward dignity does not mean becoming inflated. It means returning to self-respect through behavior. Here is how you run polarity inside a trigger cycle. When you notice the body shift, label the state in one sentence, like, my system is running fear, or my system is running anger. Then choose the pole you want to move toward, like clarity, clean action, dignity, or next step. Then take one action that matches that pole. Action teaches the nervous system faster than explanation. A clarity action might be slowing your breath, writing three facts you actually know, asking one honest question, gathering information, or stepping away from a flood of inputs. A clean action might be setting a boundary, stating a request clearly, leaving a heated room, choosing a calm tone, scheduling the difficult conversation, or doing the one step that reduces the problem. A dignity action might be posture, hygiene, cleaning your space, showing up on time, keeping a promise, telling the truth in one sentence, or repairing what you broke. This is how triggers stop becoming destiny. You interrupt the loop, then you train a new default. A common trap shows up here. People try to win by suppressing emotion. Suppression creates short-term control and long-term pressure. The emotion stays in the body and leaks out sideways as irritability, numbness, fatigue, cynicism, or over-control. Regulation works better. Regulation means you can feel the emotion without letting it drive the car. Capacity matters too. When you are exhausted, hungry, sleep deprived, overstimulated, or isolated, you become easier to trigger. Your stability drops and the loop runs faster. So part of the work is basic. Sleep, food, movement, sunlight, less constant input, more real contact. A nervous system with its basics met becomes harder to hijack. Now apply this to a few common loops. With doom scrolling, the cue is the feed. The body shift is shallow breath and locked attention. The story becomes, the world is on fire and I'm powerless. The urge is, keep going until I feel certainty. The behavior is endless consumption. The consequence is fatigue and more fear, which makes the next cue hit harder. The interrupt point is the body shift. Put the phone down, take 3 slow exhales, write 3 facts you know, then do 5 minutes of one action that improves something local. That converts fear into clarity and action. With relationship conflict, the cue can be tone, facial expression, criticism, or silence. The body shift is heat in the chest or tightness in the throat. The story becomes, I'm being disrespected, or I'm about to be abandoned. The urge drives attack, defense, interrogation, or withdrawal. The consequence reinforces the story. The interrupt point is pace. Slow down. Take 2 breaths. Speak in short sentences. State 1 observation, 1 feeling, 1 request. Then stop. Clean action drains drama. With shame, the cue can be a mistake, a memory, or comparison. The body shift is collapse posture. The story becomes, I'm defective. The urge drives hiding or numbing. The consequence becomes more avoidance and more shame. The interrupt point is posture and repair. Stand up, shoulders back, feet planted. Then do 1 repair action immediately, even if it is small. Dignity comes back through movement and follow through. 1 more piece matters in the net model. Triggers spread through groups. 1 person walks in carrying panic, and the room tightens. 1 person walks in carrying contempt, and the room hardens. 1 person walks in carrying steadiness, and the room settles. This is where ethics becomes practical. If your signal shapes the room, responsibility means tending your signal before you ask the room to be peaceful. That is stewardship. Now connect it to fulfillment, because this is the deeper reason people want this work. Many people chase fullness through external objects: money, sex, status, approval, constant stimulation. Those things can bring pleasure and relief. Stable fullness comes from integration. It comes from being present in your own life. It comes from living aligned with your values. It comes from telling the truth to yourself and acting on it. Trigger cycles block fullness because they keep you living in reaction. When you retrain the cycle, you recover choice. When you recover choice, you recover dignity. When dignity returns, the need for external glue weakens. To make this real, you need a simple daily practice that builds pattern recognition. At the end of the day, replay 1 trigger moment. Ask what the cue was, what the body did first, what story showed up, what you did next. Then ask what clarity would look like next time, what clean action would look like, what dignity would look like. Pick 1 small change to rehearse, 1 sentence you will use, 1 breath pattern, 1 boundary, 1 exit plan, 1 5-minute task. Rehearsal trains the nervous system. An if-then plan strengthens it further. If the jaw tightens, then slow exhale and drop shoulders. If the urge is to send a hot message, then wait 10 minutes and write it in a note first. If the urge is to scroll, then stand up and drink water first. Small rules build new defaults. Now close the loop back to the net model. Thoughts are signals. Emotional states are signals. Trigger cycles are signal loops that became automatic. Actions are ripples. When loops run your behavior, your ripples stay predictable. When you interrupt the loop and shift polarity, your ripples change. When your ripples change, your environment changes. As your environment changes, your cues change. As cues change, the nervous system settles. That is how the loop heals. One final reminder keeps the practice alive. The mind likes turning practice into identity. Identity hardens and learning slows. Stay a practitioner. Stay teachable. Keep training. Right after this episode, take 60 seconds. Name your current signal. Notice the earliest body sign of it. Choose the pole you want to move toward. Take one action that matches it. Then watch what happens next. That is the net as a lived model. And that is how trigger cycles stop running your life.